How are you? Fantastic. And if you don't know what that's from, that's coming up later in the show. Hello, everybody. I'm David McVeigh, and this is Geek Actually, episode 92 for the 10th of July, 2010. And today is my anniversary. Yay! Woo! And there was much rejoicing. So we're going to try and keep this tight because I want to go off and have anniversary festivities. So we'll see how we go.
So you're taking that in a whole different direction.
No. I'm supposed to be going out for dinner and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, I am joined in studio, as always, by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man.
That's fantastic.
Really good. Really happy. Seen a couple of good films this week.
It is. It's a good week for films.
I'm very, very, very happy about that.
About time is all I can say. And we're also joined in studio by... Oh, no, wait. There's nobody else here. No, it's just us today.
Just us.
Which felt kind of fitting because...
We kind of decided at the end that it was just this is how we should go out.
That's right. Because as of next week, it's the whole new structure of the show. Mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere. You make it sound like we're finishing. It's just next week starts the restructure with the three separate, you know, hour-long shows, tech, film, and so forth. So this is kind of the last of this breed of Geek Actually. And we felt that, you know, we'll kind of go out the way we went in. So
right.
Now when we actually went in, it was actually a different person on the other side of the counter, but it was still just two people. So, this is how we're gonna finish this era. And then we will continue on next week with the new era. Basically,
yeah.
And
so we're not going anywhere.
No. And just to let you know, next week we actually have Katrina Smith rejoining us in the studio, and she's been a long time away, and she's going to come in and help us review Night and Day, which is such a Katrina film. So she's going to come in to help us review that, and if we're really lucky, we're also going to have Mirren in the studio. So
it'll be a massacre.
So the film show portion of next week will be quite outrageous, I think. It should be a lot of fun. All right, so I've written this little bunch of text here, and I'll see if I can paraphrase it a little bit. Basically, I've said, welcome to the last Geek Actually podcast in this form. As of next week, we'll be Tech Actually, Film Actually, and Geek Actually After Show, as we've said before. All the information on this restructure can be found at geekactually.com. So I wrote a big post about it explaining how it was all going to be broken up. Although, since that post has been written, I've been pondering possibly even making a third feed and putting the After Show on its own feed. Because it occurred to me that it's really unfair to tech people who want to come and listen to the tech show and having to subscribe to the film show just to get the after show. Because then they're going to be having to pull the film show as well if they just want the after show. So I'm wondering if I need to actually break that up even further. But anyway, we'll deal with that throughout this week. Confusing, I know. It'll all iron itself out over time. However, this week we are going to have a review of course, Robert Rodriguez's new production of Nimrod. Now, I've got to get this name right because if you say his name as it's spelt, it just looks like Nimrod. But I believe it's pronounced Nimrud. It's a foreign name. It's got a little accent on it. Antal's Predators. So we'll have a review of that a little bit later on after we get through our usual tech and film. Now, we actually have kind of a shortish tech and film section this week because we didn't grab a lot of stories, but I think...
I didn't think it was possible for you and me to have a shortish show.
Well, shortish compared to our normal shows, I think, is the way we're going to look at it. But before we get started on anything, we have a little bit of a late-breaking story. This came up literally just before we started broadcasting today. Our friend Holly McKay over at Fox News posted up on her Facebook this article, and oh my God, let's just say that Mel Gibson is at it again. I thought he'd gotten over this. But apparently...
It's a matter of opinion. I don't think, you know, the old dog new tricks thing really applies here. I don't really think it's ever gone away. I mean, like, you know, Even his apology. Do you remember his apology last time?
No.
It didn't... Oh, you really?
No, I mean, I remember he did one, but I don't... Because it felt so insincere.
Dude, it felt like he was like, you know, like, I'm really sorry that I took a jab at the Jews. It's not their fault that they're Jew-like. You know, like, it was like, that was the way he was saying it. It was like, I'm really sorry that you're Jewish. Like, that was the feeling I got out of that thing. It was like, wow, dude, way to patronize everyone.
Well, apparently this was a fight between him and his wife, Oksana Grigoryeva, I believe
it's pronounced. I don't think it was a fight. A fight is two-sided.
That's true. Okay, this was a rant. And basically, he went on, he went off. And now, apparently to radaronline.com, they have the recording of this. We couldn't get it because it's short notes. I'm sure if I looked around, I would find it. But because it was just before we started recording, I didn't have time to go exploring to find it. Because at radaronline.com, it is region specific, so if you're not in the States, you can't grab it. But everybody will be putting this out everywhere by the end of today. You're going to find this audio recording, and when we find it,
you know what, I would imagine just browse YouTube, you'll probably find it and about 20 different remixes of it as well. And of course those great videos you get where someone else reenacts it out.
That's true. Or put it to animation.
That's another favorite. Put it to little
flash animations of it. Anyway, so radaronline.com has got this article. Now, we're going to be quoting from this article. Now, I just want to stress right from the very beginning of this, this is not our opinions, and these are not our words. These are straight from the recording. They are, quote, unquote, according to radar.com. But we just felt that we had to talk about this because, God.
You've got to, man. Like, you've got to. Look, I mean, we talk about three strikes, but I think this guy doesn't deserve more than these two.
The photo they have on that Radar Online article is just such a... Look at that grin.
He's so creepy.
Look at that grin on his face. It's horrible. Anyway, all right. So basically, he went off on a rant on Oksana. Now, this is the mother of his child, of his most recent child, anyway. And it basically, one of the quotes here says, "You're an embarrassment to me. You look like a fucking bitch in heat. And if you get raped by a pack of..." Now, once again, these aren't our words, okay? "If you get raped by a pack of niggers, it will be your fault." He goes on to say, it's horrible. He goes on to say, "All right, because you provoked it. You're provocatively dressed all the time, and your fake boobs that you feel you have to show off. I don't like it. I don't want that woman. I don't want you. I don't trust you. I don't love you." This man is a pig. I'm sorry. You're right. He's had his day. Mel. What is wrong with you? Are you drinking again?
In some places, like, dude, that is just...
This is domestic violence. Whether he hit her or not is not the issue. I mean, the words that he uses, he talks about her boobs again. He says, "Keep them if you want. They look stupid. Keep them if you want. You look stupid. See if I give a fuck."
No.
They look like a Vegas whore, and you go around sashaying in your tight clothes. I won't stand for that anymore. All right, what's our chat room?
Forget that, man. Read Northeast comment.
Northeast says, "Wasn't he in a movie about knowing what women were thinking?"
He obviously lost that ability.
Oh, my God, Northeast. You absolutely hit it. Fantastic. Oh, dude. No, this is just vile, vile behavior. I can't believe what I'm reading, actually. And this is just so awful.
It's like he's just... He picks, you know, sort of a race or, you know, like... you know, a race or a sex of the week, and he just rolls on it. You know, like, that's his thing.
The fact that he's got this one quote here where he actually says, "I'm going to come and burn the fucking house down,
but you'll blow
me first."
That in itself is my favorite quote, because it's just like, where does that come into it? Where in his mind, where he's like, "As I set the house on fire, you're going to go down on me.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And he says here on radaronline.com, series of exclusives about this, his racist and profane rants. This is quoting straight from their article. It says, "I called on tape. He berates Oksana, calling her a whore and a cunt, and calls a Latino worker a wetback." Oh, there's the racism. There you go. There you go.
At least he hasn't lost that. You know, why break out of form?
And apparently, Reverend Jesse Jackson of the NAACP, anti-domestic violent groups, and others are already over this. This is just awful.
Yep.
Anyway, we thought we'd better share this with you. We will put the post for this on the show notes, so you can find this article. And if you're in America, you'll be able to listen straight there to the audio. We'll find the audio and we'll try and embed that too. Because I was going to play the audio on the show, but we just couldn't get it.
Yeah.
That makes Christian Bale look tame.
Dude, Christian Bale... No.
At least Christian Bale was just a rant. It wasn't...
No, dude, and Christian Bale was a frustration-based freaking outcry. Like, that's what it was. Like, yeah. You listen to the thing, he doesn't...
It's still childlike behavior, but...
Dude, he directs it at the guy because, like, he's trying to do a scene, he's frustrated, he's tired, and he screws up and just releases anger. He doesn't actually, you know, sort of hit the guy or run up on him and, like, start doing it on his face.
He pretty laid it into that DOP, though. He really did.
Yeah, well...
Unfairly. But anyway, that's Christian Bale, and that's a whole different issue. And that isn't this. This is nasty and bitter.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. With that, man, he's still attacking the professionalism of the guy,
yeah.
Right? He is going, you are screwing me up, right? That's just a personal attack.
That's an attack. It's horrible.
Yeah. No,
all right, so thank you, Holly, for bringing that to the attention of everybody in the world by putting it on your Facebook.
Yeah.
And we will, as I say, put the links to that because it is horrible. And I tell you what, I've gotten to the point, I'm over Mill. I'm really over Mill.
Dude, look...
You're supposed to be able to separate the personal and the professional, and it's getting really hard with him because you look at him, and like you said with that picture, he just looks evil, you know? And you sit there and go, I know what's going through your head, and I have trouble shaking that.
Yeah.
You know? And as you said, I think you made the really, really astute point just before we started filming, which is, how on earth did he do 4 films with Danny Glover?
Yeah. What the hell? Where was the racism there?
Like, I know. I'm wondering, like, is he getting more bitter with old age? Or is it something that's just been buried and waiting?
I don't know.
I mean, his father is a whack job, too. His father is that conspiracy theory nut who basically goes on about everything. His father is nuts. And I think it's rubbing off on him. You know, yeah. I think it's coming, too. Men with trimmed mustaches are evil. Hey, I have a trimmed mustache.
No, you have a beard.
A bit like the New Zealanders and Russell Crowe, side dog. Ooh, okay.
No. This is a lead on from a conversation they're having about how side dog asked if Mel Gibson was Australian, and Kellicent said, no, we've disowned him.
Well, no. Actually, Mel Gibson is actually American. He was born in America, and he has an American citizenship, and he came and lived here. And went to school here and everything, but he is American.
Oh, good. There you go. You guys don't have to own him.
Australians like to take everybody on like they belong to them. Nicole Kidman is also not American, not Australian.
Another great point. Octane just brought up the fact that in Apocalypto, he works with an entire cast of wetbacks.
That's a very, very good point.
Well, it's an interesting thing because is there part of him that is like... is this just like some sort of... Is this just his father coming out in him when he gets angry and drunk? Or is this like... Because he's obviously capable.
Yeah, but it has to be buried down there somewhere for it to be able to unleash like that. I get drunk, I'm not going to come out with comments like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to be buried deep down in that psyche somewhere that it can come up like that. That is just awful.
Yeah. No, you know? I agree. I agree entirely.
And we got John Travolta, ? What are you saying?
Maybe he
became a Scientologist and that's what screwed him up. Oh, nor the... Mel Gibson is a devout Catholic.
Oh, yes.
Devout Catholic. John
Travolta. He's giving Catholics everywhere a great name right
he
now.
He is, just like Tom Cruise gives Scientologists a great name everywhere. It's about the same level. John Travolta is a Scientologist, yes, if that's the question. All right, let's move on to tech news. Rub that off.
Yeah.
That's just awful, horrible stuff. All right, so... According to the experts, they're now telling us that watching 3D TV is okay. It's all right, says the scientist. You're not going to hurt your eyes.
I like that. A scientist.
According
to
news.com.au, they're saying depth of field concerns are not relevant. 2D actually causes more eye strain than 3D.
What?
Don't watch any form of television excessively. But you know what? The one thing I love about all these articles, they never actually tell you what excessive is. I don't know about you guys, but our TV is on a lot.
Yeah.
It's on in the background. Excuse me. It's on in the background a lot. At night, we probably watch a few hours of television every night, including movies and so forth. Mm. What actually constitutes a lot? I love it when they sit there and say, you should only watch an hour of television a night. Who do you know in existence who only has their television on for an hour a night?
Like, that's not even a full movie.
No, it's not. We see the world in 3D, so we see it differently. Now, numero zero, this is actually a very interesting thing. We actually covered this in Geek Actually Tech when we were talking about 3D. The concern is that when we actually look at a 3D television, or 3D movies for that case, but 3D television is a concern because of the amount of exposure to it, our eyes are actually not seeing depth of field.
No.
No. Our brain is being tricked into thinking it's seeing depth of field. And what they're saying is there could be long-term damage associated with the brain, basically forgetting how to really look at real depth of field, and it could really be affecting us. According to Professor Colin Clifford of the Vision Center at the University of New South Wales, this is actually where I'm going to get my eyes tested in the next week, an authority of how the brain interprets the visual signals from the eyes, says it is very unlikely the 3D TV could cause any long-term harm, provided
people... What does that mean? Wait. Very unlikely.
Very unlikely, provided people only watch it for a few hours a day.
Well, that's not going to happen.
His quote exactly was, the concern about 3D TV originates with the development a couple of years ago of virtual reality goggles. Remember, we actually talked about the virtual reality goggles, which have tiny screens right in front of both eyes, which present a slightly different image to each eye. When we look at an object in depth, two things are yoked together and converge, the convergence of our eyes, when they point at that object, the curvature of the lenses. What he's saying is that those goggles, those VR helmets, were basically a lot more dangerous because our eyes didn't get a chance to do anything else. They were locked onto these little screens in front of us. Whereas with 3D, it's a lot more open plan. Yeah. We can look around the room. We can drop the glasses off when we'd have to and so forth. I still think that it is a concern. I think people are glossing over stuff, quite frankly.
I think that article misses out a bunch of points.
Also, I don't think enough testing has truly been done.
Dude, I honestly, optical is one thing, man, but this isn't only about optical. Like you said, we're talking about brain signals. We're talking about the danger of seeing these images without the glasses on. We're talking about what happens, you know, sort of when we are sitting there for long periods of time. Like, I mean, there's health risks, and then there's something like that, I reckon, is a dangerous statement just to come out that quickly and actually make a statement like that. They just want someone to do that. They want someone, like all of these companies that are releasing these 3D TVs, want us to just believe it's okay. And an article like that, to me, is actually very detrimental to do it this early. Like, I mean, let people make their own decisions. Like, if people are going to go out and buy 3D TVs, let them do that. But let's not tell people it's safe.
Yeah, and I love that.
That's like in the 1940s and 50s saying that smoking's okay.
Absolutely. Callison's in our chat room has said it very unlikely means that we haven't had 3Ds long enough to see any long-term effects, and they won't want to be sued down the line. And Psydog has answered by saying, let the early adopters be our crash test dummies.
Damn right. let them play, let them fail.
Psydog says, if their heads explode, then we avoid 3D.
Yes.
All right, so well,
I agree, man.
Well said, Psydog. I agree with you, and I agree with you too, Calisynth. I think the bottom line is they haven't been around long enough.
No.
We don't have any real data on this. We can't test long-term conditions because these TVs have only been out for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know? And I think before they were released, all this testing should have been done. And this is the argument that an Australian scientist did.
Well, anyone that's listening can, of course, check out. We did a whole section on the tech show.
Yeah, the Geek Actually Tech Show. There's one that says 3D and 2D or something like that, whatever it's called. I forget what the episode's called.
3D,
but, yeah, it's an hour long where we just talk about 3D. And we bring up these concerns from this Australian scientist who actually worked on the Sega VR helmets. And he explained that that's why the Sega VR helmets dropped off and died very quickly, was because it looked like there was going to be long-term eye problems.
Yeah.
Okay, and for those who want a 3D TV, you can also look funky like this. So, I don't know. I just can't see us all sitting around our living rooms with this.
I just hate wearing glasses in general.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right, so we are going to have two Stephen Conroy stories in a row. Two. Let me say that again. Two. Mm. One, good. And one even better. all right. The first story is, of course, that Australia and Stephen Conroy is continuing to roll out the National Broadband Network. Now, the reason we bring this up is basically as a public service announcement to say the second sites for the public service, the second rollout has been announced. And if you live in the following places, Bacchus Marsh, Victoria, Brisbane, Inner North Queensland, Casuarina, Northern Territory, Coffs Harbour, New South Wales, Geraldton, Western Australia, Gungahlin, ACT, Mandurah, Western Australia, Modbury, South Australia, Prospect, South Australia, Riverstone, New South Wales, South Morang, Victoria, Springfield Lakes, Queensland, Toowoomba, Queensland, or Victoria Park, Western Australia, you guys are going to be on broadband real soon. Because that's the second rollout. Now, they actually do say that the reason why, adjacent release sites will be Armidale, New South Wales, Brunswick, Victoria, Minamura, Kiama Downs, New South Wales, Seaford, McLaren Vale, South Australia, Townsville, Queensland, and Wollonga, South Australia. About 3,000 premises at each location will be hooked up to the network. They will be experiencing speeds up to 50 times faster than they do now, blah, blah, blah. He goes on to say that they selected these sites because the reason why these sites are all going first in the first lot and this lot because the infrastructure is already there. The pits are already dug and all sorts of stuff. So they're just literally rolling the cable out. All the other tougher areas, they're going to have to actually build infrastructure. So they're leaving those to last. So they're getting all the places that have existing cable pipes and everything ready to go. That's why they're going into those places first.
Or they
don't have very good coverage to start with. So they're the ones.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. Some of those places you.
The reason why Tasmania actually got done first was the fact that Tasmania has always been left behind in all of this stuff. So they got this first this time so that they weren't feeling left behind. Now, the even better Stephen Conroy news. And look, I got a picture of sad Conroy.
Maybe I wasn't right.
Maybe I wasn't right. The reason why he wasn't right is because. The internet censorship filter, it is official, it was on the news, it's in the newspapers, is shelved. Now, it's not shelved permanently.
I don't care.
But it's
Dude,
shelved.
We deserve a clap at least. Thank you.
So, good to all you geeks out there who complained loudly. The internet censorship filter...
Pensive Conroy.
Pensive Conroy.
That's a perfect...
It's like he's looking at it going, what went wrong?
Why do people not like me so much?
All right, so according to this article on news.com, it was also on Sydney Morning Herald, it was also on TV last night, they have decided to shelve the internet censorship filter for at least 1 year. So we've got 1 year's grace on this, and I will tell you my theory about this afterwards. But at least 1 year while they decide, this is my favorite part, while they decide what should be banned. Apparently, they're going to go through a review now and actually have a look at the refused classification list and actually look at what the community actually thinks should be on the censorship filter. Well, apparently, this is the good news. Conroy actually came out. You know, he's actually earned a little bit of my respect on this, and I never thought I'd say these words, but I have a feeling that Julia may have had a whisper in his ear, our Prime Minister Julia Gillard.
Callisons was saying it as well. Wasn't there recently she came out and said she was in favor of the filter?
Yeah, but she may have said that under the auspice of the Rudd government, because you always have to tote the line of the leader. I don't know what she... See, I haven't heard her mention anything about it since she became the leader. So I'm still waiting to hear what her stance is on this. But the point is that they've actually come up with a couple of things. Now, this is where it gets really exciting. What are the things that we actually said about the filter, Josh? We actually said we wouldn't mind an internet censorship filter as long as we knew what was on it. It was a set of URLs, the second period. Third thing was, if you got put on it, you should be notified. And the third thing is, if you got put on it, you should have right of recourse.
Yeah.
Well, they're now saying that you will get a warning if you're going to be put onto the censorship filter. They're now saying that if you try and go to a site that is blocked by the censorship filter, it will tell you the site is blocked by the censorship filter, and there will be right of recourse. You can actually put in an appeal to get your site unblocked. So all the things that we said, these are what we want.
Why does the Brazil music start playing immediately?
Oh, I don't know. It's bureaucracy, man.
Yeah,
bureaucracy.
I know. But don't you just see that happening where it would be just like in like 10 years from now, it'll be like, yes, of course you can get your site unbanned. All you have to do is take a form from section
No, not
FC.
That form. You need a 2BA form.
Yes, and you need to make sure that it gets stamped while you're there, because if you bring it back here, we won't be able to do anything for you. This is exactly where my mind
Hang
goes
on,
to
ready?
This. Anyway, let's moving right along.
All right, moving right along. All right, so that's our Stephen Conroy. That was the news that kind of warmed my heart last night when I was reading stuff, going, oh, thank God for that. All right,
it's just nice to see intelligence win out.
Absolutely. Now, as I say, my theory on this, I said I'd come back on my theory. My theory is this. The Rudd government, or the Labour government as it stood, does not want to be, now with Julia Gillard leading it, does not want to be cancelling any more policies because they're looking flaky at this point, right? The environment bill, they dropped it. The housing bats, they dropped it, you know, whatever. So they're not going to want to come out and say, we're dropping the censorship filter, because it just makes them look flaky. However, they can shelve it for a year. It comes out of the public consciousness. We all forget about it, and then they quietly let it slip away into the night.
Yeah. They'll say, hey, we put it on a shelf, but it got lost.
That's right. That's my theory. My theory is we will never hear about this again. My theory is
that's my hope.
It will just disappear now. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I'm hoping that's what we're seeing.
We're never
They're
right.
focusing. yeah, we are. we're focusing on the good part, which is, of course, that the National Broadband Network will now go out without the censorship filter.
Yeah.
So, which was another theory I had. Go back and listen to past episodes. All right. Anyway, now this gentleman. Now I've got his name here. Brian Maupin, 25 years old, based in Kansas City, likes to make YouTube videos. And he does these little silly animated films. They're very funny. He's a very funny guy. And he made this little video basically about, we're going to play a video here now. The reason we're going to play this video is it's actually been played a lot on a few podcasts, but because people carry, you know, clean tags and what have you, and we don't, it's never been played in its entirety on a podcast that I've listened to. And if they do play it, they censor it. We're going to play it uncensored in its complete form. It's about 3 minutes long. It's very funny. This man made this video basically about the HTC Evo versus the iPhone. And it's a person going in talking to a salesperson about trying to get their iPhone. The reason why we're playing this video is because the guy made it. He worked for Best Buy in America. Now, this video does not mention Best Buy. It doesn't use Best Buy colors. It doesn't use uniforms. He makes up a name for a phone shop. It's got nothing to do with Best Buy whatsoever in any way. Best Buy, for some reason, got it in their heads to find out who made this, tracked him down, found out that he was an employee of Best Buy, and fired him for making this video.
I don't get it. I'm curious to see the video
now,
to see where it goes.
Now, the update of this, of course, is that Best Buy has finally come back. Well, actually, they actually asked him to resign, is what they asked him to do, and he said no. And then they basically put him on full-time suspension, and they were going to find ways to fire him. They've now come out and said, actually, no, it's okay. You can come back to work. He's now turned around and said, I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
So you watch this video, and you tell me where Best Buy comes into this, okay? So here is the iPhone versus HTC, as only this guy could have put it together.
Welcome to Phone Mart. How may I help you?
iPhone 4. Where is the iPhone 4? I need an iPhone 4.
Oh, I'm very sorry, but we are currently sold out. However, we did finally get some more HTC Evos in.
What? What is that? Is it an iPhone?
No, it is that 4G phone on Sprint.
If it's not an iPhone, why would I want it?
Well, it's similar to an iPhone, but has a bigger screen.
I don't care.
The internet speeds are around 3 times faster.
I don't care.
It has a higher resolution camera on both the front and the back.
I don't care.
And it doesn't require you to be on Wi-Fi to use video chat.
I don't care.
Its battery is replaceable, as is the memory card.
I don't care.
It is highly customizable, everything from the widgets to the icons, the fonts, and even has video wallpaper.
I don't care.
The monthly bill is cheaper.
I don't care.
It fucking prints money.
I don't care.
It can grant up to 3 wishes, even if one of those wishes is for an iPhone.
I don't care.
It has an app that will build you an island, and then it fucking transforms into a jet and flies you there.
I don't care.
And it's motherfucking indestructible.
I don't care about any of that.
Okay, fine. Then what the hell entices you about the iPhone 4, if you don't mind me asking?
It is an iPhone.
You do realize that doesn't mean anything. It's a brand. They could put out a fucking brick and call it an iPhone if they wanted to.
Yes. But it's the best phone.
Can you explain how?
I can download apps to it.
Big fucking deal. My 8-year-old niece's shitty Boost mobile phone has apps in it.
It's 3G. And has the Wi-Fi's.
What the fuck? Do you even know what that means?
It can.
Listen, I'm out of the goddamn iPhone anyway. I guess if you're fine using AT&T's shitty-ass network, and don't mind paying out the ass for the plan and the phone, and also don't mind having a brand new phone that's already behind the curve, then I can put you on our reservation list.
No, I'll just try somewhere else. I have to have it today.
Are you serious? Not only are you so batshit stupid that you still want this device, you are also so retarded that you think you can just fucking waltz into any store and purchase one on launch day without a pre-order?
Yes.
I think I need to go chop off my own dick now. Yes. I think I will. I don't need my children growing up in a world populated by dipshits like you.
I need an iPhone 4.
Holy fuck, if you don't leave, I'm going to fucking go find one for you and shove it so far up your ass.
I want the one with the bigger GBs.
Oh god. I think I just had an aneurysm. I'm dying. Are you happy? Your fucking stupidity has killed me. Now my goddamn cat is homeless. I'm no longer alive. I'm dead.
I need the white one. Hello. I need one now, please. Can you waive the activation fee? Does it come with a case? I also need you to hook up my Bluetooth to it. Hello. Hello. Fuck it. I'll go somewhere else. My sister said Walgreens has them. Goodbye.
All right, so
you can type, you can make movies.
I like when he chooses, I want the one with the bigger GBs. Oh my god, I think I've had an aneurysm. Oh dear lord, I just love that video. I think the how it progressively gets more serious. I like somebody in the chat room, Octane has said Apple fanboy fail. This is unfortunately true, says Numero Zero. Bagging Best Buy sellers and main partners is a reason they'll use, and customers, but they don't mention Best Buy.
They don't. It's no, dude. They can say whatever they want. The truth is, it's an independent person who has an independent name, and just because he works at a store doesn't mean that they.
No,
can.
And nowhere on his YouTube site does it say Best Buy anywhere. No, you know? Not until Best Buy got involved.
Yeah,
you know,
not until Best Buy tracked him down.
This is what we call the Streisand effect. The Streisand effect was many years ago. Somebody took a photo of Streisand's house. She objected to the photo being taken and basically ran him through the courts trying to, you know, get this photo taken away. And of course, up until she said anything, only three people in the world saw this photograph. But then suddenly, by the time she had finished, everybody had seen the photograph. So it was completely counterproductive.
Yeah,
they complained about this. If they hadn't complained, nobody would have ever connected Best Buy to that. They complained, and now Best Buy's name is being dragged through the dirt because they're being so stupid about the whole thing. It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous thing. Anyway, I thought that was very funny, and I needed to share that. So as I say, it has currently had, I think the last thing was something like 1.5 million views on YouTube. It's gone berserk. It is. There is actually a counter to that as well, where somebody wants to buy an Evo. There is a second video, so you can go and have a look at that as well. So he is fair. You know, he's balanced. Now let's talk about a little bit of controversy. Facebook, we all know Facebook has weird censorship at the best of times. At one point, they removed everybody's breastfeeding photographs. Mm. It's boobs. It's nipples. You can't have that on Facebook. God damn it. Relax, guys. You know, I mean, it's this. Somebody actually pointed out in one of the comment fields on all this, which was it's just that strange American puritanical.
Which is really weird because my friend's Facebook picture for a very long time has still been him nude with a guitar over his waist.
Yeah, but all he also needs is that one little button that says report. All it takes is one person to click that button and that's done. You know what I mean? Obviously, he's been lucky up until this point, as has Victoria Buckley. Victoria Buckley owns a high-end jewelry store. And one of the things she's been doing for years and years and years is to advertise her jewelry with this porcelain doll. It's a naked porcelain doll, right? And she says that the naked porcelain doll often inspires her jewelry and blah, 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 and all this nonsense. And her Facebook site, all the photos were recently banned because the doll, are we ready, shows nipples.
Oh, wow.
These are posters in her shop window. And nobody has ever complained about these pictures. And now Facebook has suddenly turned around and said, doll nipples are no good. Oh, my God.
It's a very anatomically...
It's a very strange-looking doll to start with. But
it looks kind of skeleton-esque.
And our audio listeners can see the picture on the link, which we'll have on the show notes. But you just look at it and go, okay, it's a very strange picture, but it's a doll. You know, it's a doll. And you sit there and go, what? Does that mean if we put up pictures of Batman in his nipple suit, it's going to get banned?
Which I don't know.
Should be.
What, you're meaning the old Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The nipple suit. You know.
Yeah, that needed to be
Yeah, we could probably ban that as well. But anyway, I just think Facebook has lost its goddamn mind. There, you know what? I'm going to say this for the record. Boobs and nipples are not bad.
Yeah, Dave, yeah, that's fine. And we can try and believe that till the cows come home. But the point is that people still want certain things censored. I have no problem with
but
that.
But I don't understand. But my question, but this is where I'm coming down to this. Why are boobs so offensive to people? A man can walk around with his shirt off, his nipples showing, and you get piercings in his nipples and all, but nobody would look twice at it, right? But a woman walks down the road with her shirt off, she gets arrested. Yeah. What is it about a woman's breast that is so offensive to the general public, or it seems, quote unquote, the general public, that this happens?
That's religious people do.
You think?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, look, dude, they're still a part of the culture and we still have to be, you know, down the mark. And I mean, there's a lot of cultures. There are a lot of cultures that do find that.
Sorry, Northy in our chat room says censorship because living in the 1800s is cool.
Look, you're never going to win that argument. But yeah, I think the dolls thing is far too much. But
if a guy walked around in his undies, he'd get arrested too. I don't know. Our opposition leader walks around in his budgie smugglers. He doesn't get arrested.
I don't want to know what that means.
You know, his little speedos. Tony Abbott was Wasn't all those photographs all over. Yeah, but fine, but you're still out in public.
But that's at the beach.
So if a girl walks around in just a pair of speedos and no top at the beach, she should be okay too. But to see they're banning topless bathing at beaches too.
Well, it depends. You know,
he should have been. Octane says he should have been arrested.
Damn right.
Damn straight. Go out in your wife fronts and test the theory.
No. No.
Bungee smugglers should be banned. Yes, I am ass face. I agree with you. And why aren't you at work or something? All right. So, Facebook doesn't like nipples. Moving right along. Film news.
Doll nipples.
Doll nipples. Well, they don't like nipples, period.
Well, they don't like nipples. They don't like nudity.
Period. A few weeks ago, we showed the illegal Machete trailer that came out, which turned out to be fraud. It turned out to be Robert Rodriguez was just having fun for Cinco de Mayo. Today, we present to you the real Machete trailer. It came out this week. Here it comes. So, here's the Machete trailer.
I saw the file. Rogue federal agent. Ruled by a sense of destiny. Machete. What they did to your family. Machete. I know the legend. That's him.
CIA, FBI, DEA all roll up in the war.
He's coming after us.
I will testify.
In every form of the best ways you can possibly do that.
It's total badassery. Although I gotta say, I like the original trailer better.
Really?
Yeah, I like that whole B Grady grindhousey look to it before.
I reckon it'll still have that.
Oh, I think it will too. But look, the film is gonna kick serious ass,
dude. You know it. It's Rodriguez and Trejo. And Trejo, dude. There is no way this film.
I love the fact that it still says introducing Don Johnson.
I love the fact that Steven Seagal looks like he's still going to be in it, which is awesome.
Oh, apparently there's a badass sword fight between Trejo and Steven Seagal.
Well, you saw a moment of that where they were fighting.
Apparently
the
that's
two
like
things.
One of the big moments.
Dude, I'm just
looking
forward
finale.
To watching Seagal get killed, man. He deserves it for Lawman. He just does. Okay, that man has a lot to pay for.
He does. Lawman. The show I could only get through three episodes.
I couldn't even make it through man. I got to the end of episode one. I was like, no.
It was killing small synapses of my brain.
Just small ones. I lost all sections.
Alrighty. Now, sorry, chat room is saying looks good. Only reason down. Oh, yeah. Jessica Alba looks badass. But I'll tell you who looks even more badass is Michelle Rodriguez. Oh,
yeah. God. I just want to see her running around with almost no clothes on and a lot of guns.
A lot of guns.
Fine with me.
Damn straight.
That's exactly what she was
putting
that movie for.
All right, let's kick through a couple of these really quickly. How about apparently Warner Brothers is, rumor has it, I should say, stress right from the very beginning. Rumor has it, Warner Brothers wants Chris Columbus to direct Superman. Now, Warner Bros. Has a long relationship with Chris Columbus, remember, because he did the first two Harry Potter films, and he's produced all the Harry Potter films since, so he's obviously got a good track record with Warner Bros. But let's not forget that this is also the man who just directed Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, which we didn't review very well on this show. He's kind of lightweight, quite frankly. Now, no word yet from Christopher Nolan, who's producing the new Superman film, whether or not he would want Chris Columbus. So it's going to be an interesting battle of wills. Now, there's also a rumor going around that Goyer, who wrote the new Superman film, wants to direct it. So, and I have a feeling that Goyer is going to be much more Christopher Nolan's choice than Chris Columbus. So this is all coming from the Superman blog, which is like this official knowledge of all things Superman. So we don't have definite proof on any of this yet. This is just rumor at this point. I actually hope doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hope it stays rumor, dude.
I think Chris Columbus is the wrong man to reboot Superman. Now, also in news, last week we reported that Beast had been fired from X-Men Origins First Class. We actually got it wrong.
We didn't actually get it wrong. It's just that it came out the wrong
way. It came out the wrong way.
Theoretically, that's still true. Was fired.
Beast was fired, but it wasn't actually the character of Beast. The character of Beast is going ahead in X-Men Origins. You couldn't do First Class without Beast. However, the actor was fired. Now, the actor was... his name's gone out of my head, but since he's been fired, it doesn't matter anyway. The new actor who is taking on the role is Christopher Holt. And this is him here on screen. Now, according to a report I read, the reason why he's been cast is because the actor who was originally cast as Beast was too old. And they actually made the observation that that James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender are supposed to be the older people in the cast. And the actor who was going to play Beast is literally the same age as McAvoy. So they needed to get a younger actor to be the teenage Beast, basically. So they've now cast Nicholas Holt here, or Hult. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name exactly. So Beast is in it. Anyway. Moving right along. Second piece of casting from First Class. This one I'm actually kind of excited by. Aaron Johnson from Kick-Ass. Here he is here. Who's looking surprisingly in this picture, surprisingly like Harry Potter.
Isn't he?
Aaron Johnson has been cast as Cyclops.
I reckon that's good casting.
I do too. I think it's really good. He's got that kind of up to brightish, sense to him. I think it should work quite well. And he's worked with Matthew Vaughn before, and we know he can do the American accent. So we've got wins all across the board on that. Okay, what's next on the agenda? Okay, for those who may have been living under a rock, you may not be aware of what is going on in Old Spice Land. Old Spice is a decades-old brand of aftershave, which has in the recent decades tried to go off into body washes and everything else. And they've tried many, many different ad campaigns, and they've always been around. But more recently, we've seen things with Neil Patrick Harris and with Bruce Campbell, which were just hysterical and great. And then this came along. Now, we'll play this one first. These ads are all very short, so we'll play this. This is part of their latest ad campaign. And it's sparked a bit of a a phenomenon, really. Everybody is talking about this guy, this campaign, and everything else. We'll talk about this after we have a play of it. So here it is. This is the Old Spice Your Man Could Smell Like Me campaign. So,
hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell like. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamond. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
I'm on a horse. All right, so this ad came out, and it already has spawned. If you go to YouTube, you will find parodies of it right, left, and center. There's Old Spice with the kids doing it, and all this sort of stuff, and it's just amazing. Now, it's reason why this is really come to terms is that ad has just been named Commercial of the Year.
Yeah.
So good for them. And I'm hoping that in the 2011 Clio Awards, it'll also take the Clio Award for Commercial of the Year. Because it is. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is so sharp, so funny, so clever. Now, the other thing that's amazing about it is one take. Yeah. All right. It is one continuous take. And Leo Laporte recently did a 20-minute interview with the makers of that ad. And we will embed that at Geek Actually so you can have a look at it. We're also going to embed all these ads that we're going to show. So you'll be able to see everything in one post. It'll be nice and convenient for you to have a look at. They actually went through it frame by frame and talked about exactly how they put that ad together. And it's fascinating, the fact that it was a three-quarter boat built on a beach with the shower stall built on top of that with a 50-foot crane to lift it off. The shirt had a wire frame, and it was literally a guy just dropping it around his neck. Yeah. The only piece of digital work, or the only two pieces of digital work in that entire thing, are the diamonds and the bottle coming out of his hand.
Yeah.
And they digitally removed the support rod that was holding the thing that got him onto the horse.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything is practical and done in one take. 57 takes, over 3 days to get it right. Mm. And it is phenomenal. It is an absolutely phenomenal piece of advertising. And they know it's phenomenal because they then released this little 15-second one that came out shortly afterwards. And it goes like this.
Did you know women prefer Old Spice for their men 1 bajillion times more than lady-scented body washes? Did you know that I'm riding this horse backwards? Hyah!
Hyah! So in this little 15-second, apparently they wrote it like the night before they shot that one. They were on the beach, they were doing the whole thing, and they kind of went, oh, let's just, you know, do this. Apparently, originally, the ad executive said that it was originally going to be galloping. But then they realized that physics dictated that he couldn't actually ride it backwards at gallop. so they couldn't do the gallop. So that came out. And now we were pleased to find out yesterday, or the day before, I think it was, that they've now made a new one. And so we're going to actually present you with the new Old Spice ad with this very talented man. He's a 4-year veteran of the NFL, football player, as the makers. And now his name is actually something Mustafa is his name. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. But he apparently, they call him Mr. Wonderful. They call him Mr. Perfect on the set because he does no wrong. Apparently on all 57 takes, he nailed it every time. Mm. It was always technical, the reason why they had. So he's just genius. But here is the new Old Spice ad that just came out with him in it.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Fantastic. Does your man look like me? No. Can he smell like me? Yes. Should he use Old Spice body wash? I don't know. Do you like the smell of adventure? Do you want a man who smells like he can bake you a gourmet cake in the dream kitchen he built for you with his own hands? Of course you do. Swan dive into the best night of your life. So, ladies, should your man smell like an Old Spice man? You tell me.
I love the fact that his pants change. That's just genius.
I'm not even sure if they're wet.
Isaiah Mustafa, thank you, chat room, thank you, Octane. Now he is brilliant. And there's actually one more little 15 seconder that we can show you as well. This is a very much a sight gag. So those who are listening to the audio, I do apologize, but as I say, it'll be embedded on the site. You can have a look at it when you get a chance. So here's the little 15 seconder that came out as well, which also just tickled me.
If your man used Old Spice instead of lady-scented body washes, he could smell like he took you on more of these while wearing this. Or this. But probably this. All over this.
They're just genius. They are just genius. And I love it. This campaign has the potential to be the next Mac PC ads where they go on forever, you know, because they're just very funny. I'll be keeping my eyes on those because I love them. And I also, it actually made me go to the Old Spice website because I wanted to find out more about it. And their website is funny. They've got this amazing sense of humor at the moment. Apparently, the ad company, the company that's dealing with them out of Oregon, has only been dealing with them for like 4 years. And you can really see the change in everything that Old Spice has been doing just in the last 4 years. These guys have really taken over. Also in that Leo Laporte thing, you'll find out Leo actually asked them the question, is working at an ad agency like Mad Men? And they said, yes, it is, but with a lot less smoking and drinking. So I thought that was very cute as well. All right, we're going to just about finish up here for our news, and we're going to get into this review. I just wanted to say very quickly that Mad Max Fury Road, the latest Mad Max, is moving ahead again. It was basically, it's a troubled production. It's been up and down, but it looks like George Miller is moving ahead with it again. And the intriguing piece of news that came out of it this time was that he is actually going to shoot it in 3D. So he'll be using 3D cameras to shoot Fury Road. Last time we heard, there were rumors that it was going to be in 3D, but it was going to be a conversion job. Now it looks like they're actually going to shoot it in 3D. We'll see if it actually ever happens. This has been the on-again, off-again production for the last decade. So we'll see. And Mel isn't in it, so that's good.
That's very good.
That's very good. This one was for Josh. I came across this piece of news late last night. The Daft Punk soundtrack for Tron Legacy will be out. They're already taking pre-orders. It will be out November 23rd, one full month before the film comes out. So I thought that was good. I found a great picture of them. Are you ready? Look at these guys.
They are just awesome.
They are awesome. All right. Now, one last thing. This is actually not in the show notes. I just wanted to bring this up for our chat room. This is kind of a visual thing, so our audio listeners, I do apologize. We may just throw this at the end of the show notes as a picture so you can have a look at it. This was a cover to Famous Magazine. And it's actually a Megan Fox thing. What has she done to her face? She's obviously had some serious plastic surgery, and she's looking Jocelyn Wildenstein weird. What is that? See you later, Iron Mask Face. She's leaving the chat room. I just thought I'd bring that up, and if anybody has any comments about it, this is just a very odd-looking face. And is it me, or is she trying to make herself look like Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
I don't know. We'll discuss that more later on.
Yeah, I think we'll...
can go into it with a bit more depth.
We'll find out some more about that. But anyway, I'll throw that picture up in the show notes as well. Let us move into a film review. Let's see here. I'm actually going to bring up... I think we can bring up this at this point, don't you? And we are going to be talking about...
Callison says, I think her plastic surgeon was a Transformers fan.
Oh, dear.
Ouch.
Okay, this week's feature film review is, of course, Predators, directed by Nimrud Antal. Film was written by Alex Litvick and Michael Finch and is based on characters created by Jim and John Thomas, who wrote the original Predator. The film stars Adrian Brody, Topher Grace, Alice Braga, Walton Goggins, and I'm starting to smile already because the last name is unpronounceable, Oleg Taktarov.
Use your words.
Lawrence Fishburne, Danny Trejo, Louis Ozawa, Chang Chien, and I'm going to apologize in advance, okay? Mahershala Hashbaz Ali. And I'm sure I just massacred that name, all right?
He's sitting there going, did he just call me a...
Yes, did I just insult this man? All right, now, I'm proud to say, straight off the bat, that this film is not a reboot, it's not a reimagining, it is a bona fide, genuine sequel. Because all the way through this production, we did not know. They kept saying it was a reboot, is a reimagining, is this, is that. No, it is a genuine, bona fide sequel. In fact, so much of a sequel that they actually even reference the 87 film in it. It has taken 23 years, but 1987's Predator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, finally gets the sequel it deserves.
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute.
A group of Earth's deadliest people find themselves mysteriously dropped on an alien world and hunted by the universe's deadliest predators. Gore, action, mayhem, and many nods to the original film. That's basically all I'm going to say about the synopsis, because that's basically it.
Dude, it's a...
When you get right down to it, that's basically
anyone that knows Predators knows that that's all, that's all the talking you need to do.
That's pretty much it. It is about hunters and hunted. And for those who haven't seen the film yet, here is the trailer. Somewhere around here I have a trailer. Where is the trailer? Oh, man. My board is overloaded with junk. Oh, actually, before I show that trailer, I thought I actually downloaded this, and I thought, you know what? There are a lot of younger people out there who are going to go see Predators, and this is going to be their first thing. I thought for them, Here's the original Predator.
Oh, yeah.
We are a rescue team, not assassins. Now, what do we gotta do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trail with a chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there. What do you mean, we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime, kid. Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother of God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took it.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
He was skinned alive!
It hunts for sport.
It's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
And it certainly did. All right. I remember seeing Predator, the original Predator, in the cinema back in 87. Remember, I'm old. Anyway, I went to see it and I didn't expect anything from it. I thought, it's going to be a silly Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and The Hobbit. And I remember walking out being so jazzed by that film, thinking this was just so much fun. Then reading an interview with John McTiernan, and John McTiernan actually saying his goal. Now, John McTiernan, by the way, for those who don't know, went on to direct Die Hard, the first Die Hard. He was like the action director. He was Michael Bay with talent of the 80s. Cool. Now... he actually said when he made Predator, his goal was to make the ultimate popcorn action film. That's what he wanted to do. He just wanted to make a popcorn-eating action film. And that's exactly what he achieved. It was just this great mix of sci-fi and action and gore, and it was testosterone-laden, and it was just so much fun. Mm. Now, go through history a little bit. We had Predator 2 come out with Danny Glover, which I quite frankly thought was weak. I don't know, Josh?
Dude. That movie meant nothing to me, man. It was like anyone that goes on about the Predator films, like, I mean, you mean Predator, right?
Just Predator. 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 That's right.
No, yeah. Look, number two, no one in their right mind enjoyed. Like, you may have thought it was a laugh, but film-wise, it was awful.
It was pretty awful. It was, and you know, it has its, let's be fair, it has little moments here and there where you sit there and go, that's a nice action sequence. A bit with the voodoo guys was kind of fun, you know, and you sit there and go, It had some moments, but it wasn't the same film. It wasn't Predator. It wasn't. It didn't have the same.
It was kind of feeling him, behind it. It was kind of the Predator lost in the city. Like it didn't. He didn't feel tough.
No, and also the Predator thing works in the jungle. It's kind of got this animalistic hunt and prey kind of feeling and everything else.
Look, I mean, I have no problem with them bringing...
Callisynth in our chat room says they enjoyed Predator 2 more after they saw AVP. We're coming to AVP.
We're getting there. Let us walk along the line.
We're walking along the line. We're getting up to it. So then after Predator 2, it all just died away for a while. But it kind of got reborn in comic books. And we started to see...
And video games.
Well, the video games came a little bit later again, because what happened with the comic books was that this fan wish came out, which was everybody's going, ooh, there was that hint of the alien head in Predator 2, so wouldn't that be cool to see the Predators and the aliens and this? And so, of course, it all kind of spawned and morphed into the Alien versus Predator comic book. Mm. Now, I never read the Alien versus Predator comic book. I could never be bothered. But I did play the first game that came out, and I thought the first game was a lot of fun. It had the Space Marines and all this sort of stuff, and I thought, yeah, it's kind of fun. And a lot of people started to then say, wouldn't this make a great film? You know, but it's never going to happen and blah, blah, blah. And it took Paul W.S. Anderson. Of course it did. Paul W.S. Anderson, who responsible for Death Race and, you know, a lot of other Resident Evil films and a lot of other junk, who came along and basically said, I can do this. And he wrote and directed AVP, Aliens versus Predator, which was, in my opinion, quite frankly, quite junky. It had, once again, it had some nice action moments in it, but it was junk, you know?
Dude, it really was. It was junk. I mean, like especially the Predators towards the end of the film with, like, the fight between the Predator and the thing. It was just, there was no, like, I was glad they went with the actual things and didn't go CG with it, but at the same time, wow.
Yeah, wow. And then, of course, that was followed by the sequel, AVP Requiem, or Aliens.
Or AVP OC, as I like to call it.
OC.
I'm sorry, but it was. Yes. That film was part teen rom-com, from my eyes anyway, because I thought it was romantic comedy, because it was just that funny.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, got about to the halfway mark and went, wait a minute, this film's about predators. I remember now. Because the first half of the film, you're just setting up who we're going to kill, and not in the right way.
Absolutely. So I thought that, and, you know, quite frankly, I avoided it at the cinema. I did catch up with it on DVD. It was just awful. I don't like either of the AVP films very much. Mm. I just had a quick off-topic comment. Northy said, when does Inception come out? 22nd.
22nd, yeah.
We're waiting for that desperately. Anyway. Then everything subsided for a couple of years, and we started hearing these rumors about Robert Rodriguez. And Robert Rodriguez was saying that he wanted to reboot Predators.
You know what the funny thing was? I'm not sure about you, Dave, but me, when I actually first heard that, there wasn't that usual thing that happens where I get really kind of... I think it's because it's been massacred. You're kind of open
they
to letting it...
They couldn't make it any worse.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like when I heard it, there was that part of me that just went, all right, let's see what you do with it. Hmm. It's just like... There was never...
I have a lot of trust in Rodriguez. I do have a lot of trust in Rodriguez.
I don't think anywhere there were fans that really kind of jumped out and made an, you know, sort of open statement against that.
I did keep a wary guard. There was a lot of excitement building about this film. And even going into the cinema... Josh and I had this conversation a week ago where I actually said, I don't understand why everybody is assuming that this is going to be a great film when really the Predator franchise has only had one good film, you know? And for some reason, this is kind of like the second coming and everybody's like so excited about this film. And I just couldn't get that excited about it because, I mean, I trust Rodriguez and everything else, but I was still having trouble with the concept that this was going to be anything more than AVP again. I was wrong. All right. Now, let's have a look at the trailer for Predators, and we will come back and tell you about our opinion on this film, which I don't know, I can't wait to talk about, actually. So here is the trailer for the new Robert Rodriguez-produced Predators.
We're going after it. How do we kill them? prey.
Okay, so that's the trailer for Predators, and we've already gone through the whole cast list, so let's just jump straight into this, and I'm going to say, Josh, what did you think?
Oh, thanks, man. You caught me mid-yawn.
That's my job.
Look, what did I think? Well, it's interesting because I had a discussion yesterday with a good friend of ours that's been on platforms once before, and we will eventually get on the Geek Actually show as well, Callum, who actually grounded me a little bit. Not didn't change my opinion in any way or form, but brought up the fact that what he had wanted to see was very different from what I wanted to see, because we both went and saw the film on the same day, and he didn't enjoy it. He actually said he was expecting something a lot different. And it was interesting because I started to look at it and analyze it from what it was that I wanted out of this film. Like, I mean, part of me had pretty much decided that what I had wanted was the same thing that I think Beardy had wanted as well, which was we had gone in it to see it be reborn, to see it go back to where it began.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out of the ashes, rise up and reinstill what Predators was about. Mm. For me, the most important thing to do that was to keep it very much in line with the first one, to just run it straight down the line.
Keep it simple.
Exactly.
Stupid.
Exactly. Keep it simple. Keep it about the hunt. Put it back in the jungle and just have a whole bunch of people getting massacred with Predators, action, and violence.
It's my favorite kind of reboot, actually, because they are rebooting a series that is 23 years old, but they're rebooting it without neglecting what was there in the past.
Exactly.
You know, and I like
and,
that.
Like that, that's, as you said, that's the really strong thing that we wanted. I wanted to just get back to that. Like, we had put in so many weird side things and different new weapons and, you know, crazy new locations and Predators dropping all over the earth like they don't have anywhere better to hunt. It's like, we're not actually that great. I'm sure they've found 1,000 other creatures in the galaxy that are better fighters than we are. So, to me, bringing it to their planet, bringing it back to, you know, sort of the Predator itself and, you know, sort of very much keeping it that we're being hunted. Put people in the environment that are people that should be facing off against them.
Yes.
Like army vets, you know, sort of combat people.
Which is what made the first Predator so much fun, was that they were all hard-ass soldiers.
Exactly.
And even though they could hold their own in any situation, they were outclassed by this one creature, you know?
Exactly. And, like, I mean, I really like the fact that we brought in the right kind of people. We brought in our best, you know? We brought in the best killers that our planet had. And we brought that into a film, and we restarted it. And I think that Dave Kaczynski, I think, put it the best. He said,
Just on a side note, we actually tried to get Dave in on this show because it's very much his kind of film, but he's actually not in town.
Yes, no, he's away at the moment. But I think he put it best when he actually said, this is the kind of film that you are dying at the end of the film to see the sequel that
absolutely
will happen. And without, it really is about that. And we're not saying they're definitely going to or anything like that, but it's the kind of film where it has possibilities now. He's reopened all of what was awesome about Predator and put it back on the screen. And
if he stays on as producer in all of this, we might actually hold a continuity to the sequels and make them worth watching.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to follow the same characters. I mean, it ends in a way where it's kind of, you know, sort of immediately could be a sequel. But it wasn't that for me. It wasn't the fact that, you know, we still had people alive or the fact that we had the opportunity. It was the fact that now we have reestablished everything that Predators should be.
Yeah.
And we've put that into a film, and it's like if Rodriguez's Predators continues on, like you said, we have a possibility of breeding a really good series.
Yeah.
Like Aliens-worthy series, if we hold it correctly.
Well, at least the first two Aliens.
You combine them all together when you talk about the trilogy. You take all the good bits from the movies.
Trilogy?
Quadrilogy.
Or are we just forgetting the fourth one ever happened?
If I had my way.
Yeah. All right. No, that's an interesting point. So what was Callum actually wanting? I mean, he wanted something different, but what is it actually wanted?
Callum was under the belief, like some probably of the more sort of fanboy-esque kind of people that wanted to see Rodriguez. Because Rodriguez is a talented man. He's a man that does think, you know, I wouldn't ever accuse him, I think, of thinking outside the box. But he has that very edginess to him, and he likes to take things in very sort of abrupt and violent places. That's what he does. And I think what Cullen wanted is he wanted to see a reimagining. And I don't think that's what you or me wanted. We wanted
to... I don't think that's what Rodriguez wanted either. Rodriguez loves Predator.
Yeah.
He wanted to continue.
You can see that. You can see that. He wanted to bring it back into Predator. And look, dude, I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I mean, I understand part of him. And like I said to him, I said, I don't want to discount what you've got to say.
Hmm.
I reckon you've got a very valid point. But that's what I want to see in the next film.
What I also respect about Rodriguez in this situation is that Rodriguez as a director, and I love Rodriguez films, don't get me wrong, but he directs B-grade movies. That's what, I mean, because that's his specialty.
Yeah,
he likes to direct
really good B-grade.
Really good B-grade
A-grade B-grade movies.
Absolutely. Like Machete, right? Yeah. I mean, this is what he does. Or Planet Terror from the Grindhouse films. Or, you know, the Faculty or, you know, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I mean, this is the sort of stuff he directs. And I'm glad that he hired a director to direct Predators, because I didn't want to see a B-grade Predators. I wanted to see an A-grade Predators.
Yeah.
So he took all of his resources, his studio, everything that he does best, and then gave it to the hands of somebody else to actually direct the film.
Yeah.
And I really respect that about him. I really respect the fact that he loved the franchise so much that he obviously felt that he wasn't the right person to direct it, you know? But he obviously wanted to see another Predators film. It actually kind of reminds me, of a story that I heard a long time ago, which was when Richard Dreyfuss was offered, I think it was Jaws, actually. Mm. Steven Spielberg talked to him and he said, I want you to be in Jaws. And Richard Dreyfuss says, tell me about it. So Spielberg laid out the whole story and, you know, everything about it. And Dreyfuss said, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And Spielberg said, so will you be in it? He goes, no. He goes, because I want to watch that movie. And in the end, he eventually came around and was in the film. But that reaction, I can just imagine Rodriguez sitting there going, I want to see the new Predators movie, you know?
Exactly. No, look, and I'm with you, man. I just think that what we got was exactly what you and me expected, at least, which was we wanted balls to the wall action. We wanted, enough.
We wanted to see. We wanted to see the ultimate hunter hunting down the ultimate prey, with a bit of gore, a bit of violence, some traps, some trickery,
and
some suspension,
lot of bullet fire.
And a lot of bullet fire, lots of testosterone.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know, and we wanted to see the little homages to the original, which
and
were just
wonderful.
And, of course,
I wanted to see what I kind of got but didn't get the way I wanted it, which was Topher Grace getting axed. I said this live on – I went to a preview screening of 10 minutes of the film about 3 days before the film came out. And when I was accidentally walked in front of the wrong camera and ended up getting interviewed, he said, what is – the number one thing you want to see in this film? And I said I wanted to see Topher Grace pay for what he did to the Spider-Man franchise and what he did to Venom. And, you know, like, I got to see it. I didn't get to see it the way I wanted to see him just killed off, you know, with no sort of nuance or plot change or anything like this. I just wanted to see him explode from one of those blue bullets. I didn't get that, but I got to see him die.
But, and on the flip side of that, to be fair to Mr. Grace, Topher Grace was actually very good in this film. He makes up for Venom in many ways.
I thought he just played...
He was funny. He had some great lines.
It's that line that we very often use about Shia LaBeouf. He is like the pinnacle of male inadequacy. That's what he is. He's just a walking ball of insecurities.
Actually, and if he'd come off that 70s show and gone straight into this, we would have loved him. But there is a lot of bad will on Topher at the moment.
It's just, I feel he plays that same role all the time. I would just, like, I mean, I didn't get towards the end of the film where it sort of, sort of his character sort of develops a bit more. I didn't feel like he was that. I would like to see him play that for a whole movie. Is what I want to see. And people will understand what I mean when you see the film.
Now, we've got a couple of comments in the chat room. Calicinta said, watching the girl in the film film made me keep thinking of a young Michelle Rodriguez, or at least someone who would be following in the same career path as Michelle. I got to say, Braga is actually a much better actress than Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
She was really good in this film. She had
Rodriguez always has that really heavy-toned... Yeah, she always has that really heavy tone kind of set. I mean, I don't want to use the word because I'm not trying to, you know, sort of stipulate she is a type of thing, but she has that very bull nature of, you know, sort of...
She's a tough chick. And what I loved about Alice Braga was her strength feels like it's internal. It doesn't feel external.
Exactly. She feels like a strong woman as opposed to a fierce kind of like...
You can believe her to be the sniper that she exactly. is made out to be.
She,
you know?
You could imagine her wandering around in the bush and, you know, sort of taking
And
hours.
Then we've also got one that says, it's a good friends and popcorn movie. I saw it on Wednesday with friends and had a lot of fun from Calisthenics. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
This film is as popcorn movie as you're going to get.
Yeah.
You go in there, you sit down, the music starts, and right from the minute it starts, they basically rehash Alan Silvestri's original Predators theme and Predators music throughout, and it just puts you right there in the spot, puts you right there in the mood. We're not saying it's a perfect film. There's a couple of visual effects that really let it down. There's one fire sequence in particular which looks really tacky.
Also, both me and Dave wanted to know what involvement Ubisoft had with the visual effects.
This caught my eye in the end credits, and this is one of the reasons why I like to stay for end credits, is the fact that it said visual effects by Troublemaker Digital, which is Rodriguez's company, and they do a lot of visual effects work. And then it said, underneath that, additional visual effects by
and
Ubisoft.
And as you said, they don't usually outsource, which is why I got really confused.
Yeah, so
all
I can think is that their workload was too heavy and they needed to outsource. This happens a lot in films. So they've outsourced a couple of shots. But I've never equated Ubisoft with
this
motion picture production.
This is what I don't get because, I mean, I know that they had the game come out.
Ubisoft, for those who don't know, is a video game. Company. They did Assassin's Creed was one of those, wasn't it?
Yes. They've done a lot of that, and they actually did the most recent... Sega.
That was Sega.
I'm a little confused. Are they moving? Are they branching into film?
The next time I'm going to the cinema is on the 15th of July, The Big Four. What the hell's The Big Four?
I don't know.
Psydog, explain yourself. No. Anyway, so we'll come back to that. I recommend this film to people. I think even if you are not, it's not, a lot of reviews I've read recently have been saying, oh, it's really gory, it's really this. I actually didn't find it that gory. I mean, it does have gore in it. It's a Predator film, but it's not like a Saw movie or something, you know, it's a violent film and it does have some gore in it, but it's, you don't really dwell on it because it is just this bubblegum action film, you know, and it's more of an action film than a horror film.
Yeah.
Which it's very much like the first Predator. If you actually watch the first Predator, you'll sit there and go, oh, it's so this, it's so that. But it's not. It feels like at one point that it's going into horror film territory, and then it just goes balls to the wall. And so you kind of slide out of that position, you know? And this film has got very much. It's a really interesting group of characters with all of these different classes of killer with all your different actors.
Very different types of personalities.
That's right. You've got the big, burly Russian guy. You've got the Yakuza guy.
That sort
guy.
Of thing really reminded me of just because you also had... the really sort of tough Adrian Brody character, whose only flaw I say in this film is that he's trying to be Christian Bale with that voice.
Not as bad, though. It never actually grated on my nerves to the point where Christian Bale grates on my nerves. He sounded like he was trying a little bit too hard, but it didn't feel forced. Christian Bale feels forced.
Yeah.
This was Adrian Brody trying to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. But apart from that, it really reminded me of the Pitch Black movie with the different kinds of personality and kind of like the way that you've got one movie, which is things stalking your group, but then you've also got the internal battles between the types of people. Mm. And I really like that because it's always the play on, is there going to be internal conflict as well? And there is a few moments of that along the way throughout the film, which I kind of like. I love movies where your group of people that are trying to survive are also unstable as well as what's out there, because it really breeds that kind of sense of tension.
I'd like to say that Rodriguez also doesn't like to make long films. The film is a very, very... brisk pace.
Exactly. At no stage does it kind of really slow down.
No, it's a very brisk pace, and I think it's only like 100 minutes long. So it's very quick. It's a very quick... Yeah. Straight to the point film, and I think we probably won't do a spoiler section because there's not a lot to spoil, really. Mm. But we will just say we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Mr. Lawrence Fishburne, who has been basically playing the same character since The Matrix. He's basically playing Morpheus, doing the Lawrence Fishburne thing. He is great in this film. He gives a really interesting performance. It's a glorified cameo. Mm. He's probably only in the film for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But he is terrific. Mm. Obviously somebody who's had to be dealing with these predators for just that little bit too long.
I love his little conversations he has with himself. Yes. And also I love... I love his movements because they really do reminisce of like I mean if you've ever been or sat with somebody that is actually really gone, like really far gone, it's really interesting because he does that sort of thing and he's got the nuance of it down perfectly, right down to where his mind starts developing concepts as he talks, and he does that thing where he kind of looks away to one corner. He's not paying attention to the people around him. He's kind of...
because his world is more important than anything going on around
exactly.
him.
Exactly, and he'll do this with through, just stops, what did you say? Like, you know, like he's just moving into a conversation with himself instead of who's there. Really, really bizarre, really, really well acted.
Yes.
Like, he mesmerized me while he was on screen, and that's something I never thought I would ever see from Lawrence Fishburne again.
No, I didn't... Look, I used to love Lawrence Fishburne when he was younger, when he was doing stuff like... even up until he was doing stuff like Event Horizon and stuff like that. I mean, he was doing some really good work. But yeah, he really has just been doing Lawrence Fishburne for, you know, many years now. And it is nice to see him actually stretch and do something different with it. I also have to give a shout out to Louis Ozawa Changchien as the Yakuza guy. There's a certain quiet stillness to his performance all the way through it that I just really, I find him mesmerizing to watch.
I wish he was in it a bit more. We never actually establish him as a character before he gets killed.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you're always watching him though. There's something there all the time. And,
no, but that's what I'm saying. It's just, I would have liked to see him do a few more things.
Maybe,
just...
Well, then again, you could have said that about a few of the characters. Danny Trejo didn't get a lot to do in this either.
Yes, but his performance was important. Know what I mean? Like, whereas the Yakuza guy, kind of that final battle look, as good as that might have been as a scene, was so short it just felt rushed.
that could have been extended out by a couple of minutes. That was because there was such an anticipation sort of building up to it too. You know, and
exactly.
It could there's a sword fight basically. Well, we'd say that without spoiling too much. Which is quite sensational, but once again, very short.
Yeah, exactly.
But overall, I'm going to say that I would recommend this to all.
I would recommend this to anyone that's into action.
I would recommend this to anybody who's
anyone
into action.
Anyone that's ever watched an 80s action film and enjoyed it, then you should go see this.
And I'm also going to recommend this to those who have only seen the AVP films and say, this is how a Predator film should be.
Yeah.
But I would also say to you, before going to see Predators, go watch the original again. Because there are nods and winks throughout this film to
kill
the original.
Me. Come on, kill me.
That's the one
do
of
it,
them.
Do it
and
now.
Of course, when Alice actually gives her speech about how she knows about these creatures,
Leaving out number two.
Leaving out number two. It's like they've just completely ignored anything else to do with Predators. It's only a sequel to Predator. And as I said in the very intro to this thing, it's taken us 23 years, but I think we got the sequel that we actually wanted.
When I talk about Predator movies, those will be the only two I discuss.
That's right.
The original and this one.
That's right. So the separated by 23 years, this is the film and its sequel. Forget the middle ones. All right. So I think that wraps up our review. I think we've pretty much said everything we've got to say. We are going an after show today. And because it's actually quite a heavy film time at the moment, we actually have a second film review. So for our live viewers, if you stick with us, we're going to review the film The Runaways in the after show. And for our audio listeners, the after show will be out on Wednesday, and you'll be able to hear our review of The Runaways, which is, of course, about Joan Jett and Cherie Curry. It wasn't what I expected.
Runaways in general, really.
The Runaways, the band, how they formed and all sorts of stuff. And it wasn't what I expected, quite frankly.
Anyone that's going to discount this film due to Kristen Stewart needs to actually listen to our review.
Yeah, needs to pause for a second. Come over and listen to the review because you might be surprised, because we're not Kristen Stewart fans, either of us. Nope. All right, let's do a little bit of housekeeping and we'll get ourselves out of here, out of this main show, and then we can go to this after show. I'm going to say, if you disagree or agree with anything we have to say, of course, you can send us feedback at feedback@geekactually.com. You can also send us a voicemail, 02-8011-3167. That's our voicemail line. That's a Sydney number. And if you are outside of the Sydney area and don't want to pay the exorbitant phone call rates, send us an MP3. We have no problem with you emailing us an MP3. We'd love to hear your voices and your opinions. As I said, next week are breaking the shows up. And we will have all the information on geekactually.com. So if you are at all confused about anything that's going on, all updates and everything will be on geekactually.com. That's where you're going to find it. Okay. Josh, you had something to talk about this week.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, everybody knows that I, of course, have my own website with the boys that were on platforms, which is rawdlc.com. We, of course, discuss everything gaming-related. We have our own podcast and live show, which goes out on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. It's great fun. We have been having a lot of enjoyable times over the first three episodes that we have. We're available on iTunes as well. If you just look for DLC, please give us a rating if you can. But more importantly, the thing that I wanted to talk about was the fact that if anybody watched the show, our show on Wednesday, or has been to our website, we will have a post up about it very soon. We are supporting something which is happening here in Sydney, which is a bunch of gaming journalists run by Luke Laurie, who is on The Gap, has decided to band together and do a 48-hour Borderlands marathon, which will be entirely raising proceeds for charity. We are raising charity for Child's Play, which mm-hmm. over here is for the Children's Hospital to give them games and DS's, controllers, things like that, to go towards them having something fun to do while they're there in hospital.
And listeners of the show know that we have very strong ties to the Children's Hospital, so it really exactly. is important. So.
Yes, and we will be playing nonstop, a bunch of us. We will be throwing through at least 48 hours and will continue on if the money keeps pouring in. We are going to play this to death, and we will stream it all live via Ustream.
Is this going out on the Raw DLC Ustream? Or
No, this is going out on their own.
On their own. Okay.
We will have all the details to it on the website as soon as we get posts from the boys. It's all happening next weekend. It right. starts on the Friday night, and it goes right through till Sunday.
And just make sure you take a two-hour pause or so on Saturday at about 12 o'clock.
Of course. Of course. We will still be there when people get back.
Yeah.
We will probably, the DLC boys look like we'll
be. So will you be on the show next week?
You'll be there, won't you? I'm doing the Friday and the Saturday nights.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Will be the nights that I'll right, be involved. But the point is, if you guys have the time, please swing by. Again, the post will be up on the website to give you more details, and Game Arena will also have details. But if you drop by at some stage, please, if you've got $5, $10, just throw it towards us. Every dollar will help. It's all going towards charity.
We might see if we can actually pump their feed through.
And there may actually be giveaways.
We might actually see if we can pump their feed through our board so we can check in with them while we're actually doing the show.
Absolutely.
I'll see if I can. I'll see if I can.
I will get onto the boys and I'll actually see if that's possible. Maybe we can do a quick interview or something like that.
No, I was actually talking about their actual gaming feed. So we might be able to actually put their gaming feed on the board. I'll have a look. I'll see how we go with that. Cool. It could be fun. But yeah, it might be interesting to actually talk to them as well. Mm. But they'll be kind of busy, I imagine, during showtime. All right, so all the information for that will be on rawdlc.com. All right, so make sure you check that out. We have a couple of friends that we always like to promote. Now, I'm going to say it here. I actually sent them a Twitter post about this, and they haven't responded to me. Hopefully they will listen to this. Charlie and Jesse at the Movie Fan House. By the way, their site is back up and their feeds are all working again. Woo! And their show is coming out. But their latest episode, for some reason, on iTunes is giving a 404 error. It's saying the file not found. What that usually entails is that the file's got something strange in the file name.
Yeah.
Hasn't been quite put in right. Mm. And they may just not be aware that this is happening. I sent them a Twitter post about this, but it still hasn't fixed the feed. So, Charlie and Jesse, if you listen to this show, fix your episode 51. Okay, I want to hear it. All right, so that's the moviefanhouse.com, or you can search for it on iTunes. When you search on iTunes, though, make sure you look for the Movie Fan Cast.
Yes.
All right, because they have actually changed the name of the show. And if you want to know why they've changed the name of the show, you can come and listen to one of our after shows from a while ago. Brad explained it all. All right, we also like to promote our good friends over at Real Junkies, which is at weekendronan.com. The links for all of these, by the way, if you're listening to the audio podcast and you kind of miss past them, all the links for these are on our front page of geekactually.com. Mm-hmm. If you go to the front page, you'll find all the picture ads for these. Okay, weekendronan.com, they do a REEL Junkies. They do a movie podcast where they review films, usually under the influence of tequila. It's kind of fun. So have a listen to them. And of course, listen to Raw DLC. DLC Live, which I'm catching up on right now. I'm actually listening to episode 2 and I'm downloading episode 3 as we speak. So do listen. I'm quite enjoying the barbs at my expense.
Oh, come on. You know it's done with love.
Oh, of course it is. All right. So we're going to get ourselves out of here. I think we're done. I don't think we have anything else to add.
No.
Josh, if anybody wanted to find you other than Raw DLC, is there anywhere they can find
yes,
you?
Yes. Facebook/ Geek Josh.
Geek Josh. Fantastic.
And big shout out to the bunch of people over this week that have added me from Geek Actually.
Fantastic. And also a reminder, if you do go to our individual Facebook accounts and want to become our friend, make sure that you heard about us on Geek Actually. Otherwise, we're just going to refuse your friendship.
Yeah. Okay? It's not a matter of us being nasty people. It's just
because we don't know who you are.
And also, we get some weird people. I've had a bunch of random sort of collections of people trying to connect to me that have all sorts of weird things written in their
absolutely
things. So and also, it's not against you personally.
No. So if you want to follow me personally, you can follow me on Twitter. It's David McVeigh on Twitter, or it's David McVeigh on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or you can also follow our Facebook fan page, which I have been updating more recently this week, which is Geek Actually on Facebook. Those are all facebook.com/ and then the name. They've all got their dedicated URLs. All right. With all of that being said, I think we're done for the day.
Yep.
I'm going to say our usual sign out for this last of this era of show. We're going to say go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. And all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you.